Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is John Lyons on WEEI.
To the apron. 5 seconds to go. And Toronto will go home tied at one game apiece.
That was a tough one. Bruins lose 3-2 in game two to the Maple Leafs. Series is tied 1-1. I'm your host, John Lyons. Up until midnight tonight, taking your call, 617-779-7937. We are going to hear from Lena Solmark. We are going to hear from Morgan Geeky as well. Bridget Prue of WEI will be joining us hopefully in about 20 minutes or so. She'll have a report from the TD Garden. I'm here with Zach Coe, our producer as well. He's a Bruins. And we're going to call him a Bruins expert because it's after 11 p.m. I don't know if he's actually a full Bruins expert. We're going to call him one because it's that way. Zach, would that be fair, Bruins?
I watch every game. I don't know that I'd necessarily call myself an expert, but like you said, it's after 11 p.m. So expert.
Yeah, so we'll call it an expert. And look, the Bruins go with Linus Olmark tonight. I did find this interesting. Just Jim Montgomery, and I'm not surprised by this. I found it interesting. Jim Montgomery after the game, no second guesses. He was terrific. He made multiple big-time saves. It was a strength of our team. He played really well. We only scored two goals. And look, you score five goals in game one, including an empty netter, but you score five goals in game one. You follow it up in game two, where you only score two. I mean, to me, that's a big part of this game. They didn't take advantage of opportunities like they did in game one. They didn't have the same intensity level, it felt like, throughout that they did in game one. They were 1-for-2 on the power play, so that was good, but it just felt like 5-on-5, they had trouble generating consistent chances. They had some. It wasn't like they got smoked in this game, but just felt like they had trouble consistently generating chances. I do want to hear from Linus Olmark now. He had this to say after the game.
Top of your game, I would say. You know, it's a tight game. Always going to be tough ones. It's going to be tight. And it's all about making the most out of your opportunities.
Coach felt that they improved. Do you guys kind of, you know, need to get better? Just your thoughts on what you saw from both sides tonight.
Yeah, no, I think he's right. You know, he sees it from the side. He has a pretty good look at it as well. And I think his assessment is pretty spot on. There's some things to clean up, definitely, but it's a long series, and now it's all about, you know, recharging. You know, sun will come up tomorrow as well. We go to Toronto and then duke it out once again.
Kind of what you expected as far as the rotation goes, you getting tonight?
No. You know, it's just I'm very grateful every time that I get the opportunity to go out there and play. You know, it's the most fun time in this year. So I don't take anything for granted. I don't see that, you know, anyone should have any more stars than the other. It's all about compete and performance, and also it's all about wins.
When did you find out you were going to start?
When?
Yeah.
Yesterday. So we have that conversation every time, and I knew that yesterday, which is something that I like. But I don't know if that's going to be the case every time, but for now, that's what happened.
There's two great saves in the second period, back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
What were you seeing on those?
The puck.
the one, the glove save, where they reviewed it.
Yeah. No, it wasn't in. No. might be close, but it all happened so fast. But I was pretty sure that the puck wasn't all the way in or even a little bit in, just because of how I had my post integration. So it felt very comfortable. So I was a little surprised, but at the same time, not surprised that they actually checked it, just to be certain.
Did you stick your glove out to sort of show that it didn't cross the line? Like
yeah, I did a little bit of like a walrus roll or something like that afterwards to try to get it out there. You don't want to, you know, start windmilling it backwards or anything like that. You got to keep it, you know, going forward.
Thoughts on it being a 1-1 series if you guys now head to Toronto?
It's kind of like I said in the beginning. We knew it was going to be tough. And there's going to be opportunities to recharge, focus, and go on there and try to get a 2-1 lead the next game.
That is Linus Ullmark talking after the game. The Bruins 3-2 loss to the Maple Leafs, series now tied 1-1. One thing of note there, I mean, this isn't a surprise to me, but Ullmark said he knew yesterday he was going to be starting tonight, which also makes me think that Jeremy Swayman probably already knows he's going to be starting in Game 3. I feel like the Bruins had at least the first three games, maybe the first four, planned out in advance. And again, Ullmark said he knew yesterday that he was going to start. And again, played well tonight. 30 saves on 33 shots, whereas Swayman, you know, 35 saves on 36 shots a couple days ago. Both guys have played well, and both have been deserving of playing more in the playoffs, but I think it's something that now Game 3 really comes into focus for me. Because if Swayman goes out and he plays just as well in Game 3 as he did in Game 1 and you win, then I lean towards putting Swayman in for Game 4 and then Ullmark Game 5 and going to a 2-1-2 type rotation, if you will. Because then on the back end of that, Swayman would get Game 6 and 7 if you went 2-1-2 and the series went to 7 games, which is something I thought maybe they would have done originally, a 2-1-2 type rotation. But to me, that's just Ullmark knowing ahead of time makes me think Swayman knows ahead of time as well. We have Sean in Idaho on the line here. Talking about Bruins needing to play with more energy. Sean, welcome in. How are you?
Hello. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I just watched the game tonight. I mean, look, this is the problem that the Bruins have got when it's come to the playoffs. We all saw tonight how they played. When they don't play with energy, that is not a good thing. They were flat, and that is not cool. That's why the crowd got restless, and even I did. I'm sitting at home watching the game, and I'm like, you have got to be kidding me, Bruins. Stop doing this. It's like my message to the Bruins, and even I add the Celtics, even though this talk is about the Bruins, how badly do you both want to win championships this year? If you want to win, you need to start winning games at home. It's that simple. Stop this losing at home for both teams. I know the Celtics are up 1-0, but look, man, we've seen this stuff for a long time with both the Bruins and the Celtics, and they both need to take it seriously because, again, that home ice and home court, it's so beneficial. I mean, if you want to protect it, that is the important thing to do. When you give a team one game, it gives them momentum. And honestly, I feel the Bruins can win this series against the Maple Leafs. The Maple Leafs haven't beaten the Bruins since 1959. But, you know, it's frustrating when the Bruins play flat, especially in the playoffs. I've seen that with them over the years, and that's not a good thing to do. I mean, when you're flat, it means you're really not into the game.
Yeah, Sean, it's a great point. I have to ask, Sean, are you really from Idaho?
Yeah, I really am.
You're the first caller from Idaho I've ever had here, so I just wanted to give you the shout-out there, Sean. I appreciate the call as well.
Yeah, I've called plenty of times before from Hayden, Idaho, and I've ripped the Red Sox when they haven't played well, or the Bruins, or the Celtics, or the Patriots. I'm a big Boston sports fan. I went to Boston in late May of 2015, I spent, you know, 3 weeks there in Boston. I loved it. It was a great time. I went to a Red Sox game. I saw most of the historic landmarks, man. So, yeah, I'm a real good, friendly caller. I make sure to keep it topical. And I always do my best with everybody listening in not to become a stage hog. But when you're irked, you know, and you don't like that.
I appreciate the call. And I think Sean brings up, you know, a good point here about the home ice, which is something, you know, Zach, we haven't talked about yet, but I mean, look at the last few major playoff series the Bruins have lost. Last year, they lose two games at home, Game 2 and Game 7, to the Panthers.
Game 5 as well.
Did they? Oh, wow, they lost. That's right. I'm sorry. So they lost three games at home last year in the first round. The 2019 Stanley Cup Final of the Blues, they lost three games at home to the St. Louis Blues. Like, this is not something that's new. And I know we're going back a little bit further, but like 2014, they lost multiple games at home to the Canadiens. 2013, they lost multiple games at home to the Blackhawks. Like, they've had an issue in major playoff series protecting home ice. I mean, how many? And look, I'm a Bruins fan, so I know the heartbreak inside and out. I mean, how many times has this team lost a Game 7 at home? Right, like 2012 Game 7 at home, 2014 Game 7 at home, 2019 Game 7 at home, last year Game 7 at home. Like, that's just in the last 10, 12 years, right? They've been losing Game 7s at home, pivotal Game 5s at home, right? I remember that St. Louis Blues one when they should have called tripping and the Bruins lost 2-1. I won't bring that up again. I'm sorry. Just broke my own heart a little bit. But point being, like, this home ice thing is an issue, and I know the caller, look, and I know this is Bruins postgame, but it's true about the Celtics as well. I mean, they lost, what, 3 home games last year to the Heat? They lost multiple home games to Golden State a couple of years ago. Right? So 2021, they lost, I think, multiple, at least one home game to the Nets as well in that first round series loss. So this is something, though, when it comes to the Bruins, they've had issues on home ice, especially in big playoff series. And look, I know the last 2 years in the regular season, they've been great on home ice. It's been awesome. Play the Lego song. Everything is awesome, right? It's been great. And I still think they're going to win this series, but going forward, like in this series, if they win this series and I assume play Florida in the second round, they're going to have to be able to win home games. I mean, we're talking about 3 home game losses. And then what was it, 2022 Game 7 against Carolina? That was at home, right? And they lost that game?
Yeah, that one was at home.
That's another game. I didn't even mention that one. I forgot about it. So the Bruins have had a serious problem over the last 10 years, 12 years or so, losing key playoff games at home, specifically Game 7s at home, except for the Toronto one so far. But Game 7s and home games, and tonight was another example. So sky's not falling. I still think they're going to win this series. But I do think the caller brings up a good point that home ice is something they really need to do a better job protecting. And I don't know what it is. Sometimes it almost feels like the Garden crowd gets so hyped up that the Bruins play with a little bit of nervous energy. Like, I felt that in the 20, and I was at game one of the 2019 Stanley Cup final, which of course is the only one they won because I was there. Duh. But they win that game and there was great energy in there, but it felt like, and then game two, they lost in overtime, but it felt like game five and especially game seven, there was this nervous excitement and energy in the Garden, which the Bruins didn't seem to feed well off. And I'm not obviously blaming the crowd, but it just feels like they have this little bit of home ice thing. I don't know if it's in their heads, at least a little bit it feels like, but they have had trouble on home ice. Again, key playoff game after key playoff game, they've lost at home. You go all the way back to 2012 when they lost Game 7 of the first round at home in overtime. And ever since then, 2013 eliminated. So 2012 eliminated at home. 2013 eliminated at home. 2014 eliminated at home. More recently, 2019 eliminated at home. 2022 eliminated at home. 2023 eliminated at home. So not trying to be sky is falling guy, but it's home ice, right? So you got to win one in Toronto, but you also got to come back and win Game 5. Right, like I want to be going into Game 6 on the road up 3-2 or have the series over in 5 ideally. But you don't just have to win at least one in Toronto. I want you to come back and win Game 5 as well. And one thing that I think will help do that is the improved power play. And we have Morgan Geeky. He scored a power play goal in this game to put the Bruins up 1-0 early. He had some interesting comments about the Bruins' power play after the game.
Yeah, I think we've switched the units up a little bit, and I think we were just putting a little too much pressure on ourselves, and it's starting to. We got a lot of good players on both units, I think we were being pretty hard on ourselves, and not giving ourselves enough credit for how good we've been most of the year. So we're just, it's nice to see pucks go in, but we're getting quality chances both units. So we're just trying to go out there and capitalize on those.
And that is Morgan Geeky, who scored a power play goal in this. And I think the power play is something that as we look towards Game 3, where can the Bruins have an advantage? Their power play has been great this series. They have 3 power play goals already this series. In their final 32 power play opportunities in the regular season, they had 3 goals. So they were 3-for-32 to close out the regular season. They already have 3 power play goals in 2 games against Toronto. So despite the loss tonight, they do get another power play goal, which I think is not just important for the context of they got, a couple in game one, they got one tonight, but moving forward into game 3, game 4, because Toronto has so much offensive skill and speed, you got to take advantage when you are on the power play. And so far, the Bruins have been doing that in this series. We are going to be joined next segment by Bridget Prue from WEEI.com in the Sunday Skate for a live report in the aftermath of the TD Garden loss tonight for the Bruins. But first, it's time to trend with Zach Coe.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
John Lyons on WEEI.
Back here on WEEI, I'm John Lyons. Good Zach Coe producing, reacting to the Bruins' 3-2 loss to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Lot to get to in this one. We are joined right now, though, by Bridget Prue. She covers the Bruins for WEEI.com. She's also the co-host of the Skate Pod and the Sunday Skate every Sunday morning from 9 to 11 a.m. She's at the Garden tonight. Bridget, welcome to the program. How are you?
Hey, John. I'm good. Just walked out of the Garden.
Oh, there you go. Just leaving the sad state of the way the Bruins ended things. Bridget, I want to just start off. General thoughts on this game, Bruins lose 3-2.
First big thing is the goalie situation. Linus Ullmark gets the start, so the rotation is in full effect at this point. So that mystery is over and done, and I feel like we're almost guaranteed to see Swayman in game three, just because that keeps the rotation going, but also Ullmark got the loss, Swayman got the win. I think another takeaway about goaltending, though, is that it was not Ullmark's fault that the Bruins lost.
Yeah, and I wanted to follow up on that. So Ullmark has 30 saves on 33 shots, Swayman 35 of 36 in game one. Given that they both played well, but Ullmark did get the loss, do you think this rotation is just going to continue 1-1-1-1-1 the rest of the series?
So from what Montgomery has said, he said he wants a rotation through the first four games. If they're going to do a rotation, they're going to do it through the first four games and then reevaluate. So that means, yes, I think we see Swayman in game three and Ullmark in game four.
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense. And you did have something before we get any further on later in this game on that Pastrnak goal at the end of the first period. You had a tweet about a coaching decision from Montgomery that you thought was a pretty good idea and worked out well in the moment. Could you tell us what that was?
Yeah, so I thought it might be a moment we would look back on and say, okay, this is where Boston might have an advantage in terms of coaching. When Jim Montgomery, there's only about 10 seconds left in the period, Jim Montgomery sends out Morgan Geeky and Pavel Zacha, who are both centers, out on the ice with Pastrnak to try to score late in the period, and they send Geeky out to take the faceoff. He's not usually on that line, but it works perfectly. He wins it, pucks in the back of the net a few seconds later, and the Bruins are up 1-0 after the first period. So it's like, okay, that's an immediate personnel decision that you see pay off as a goal.
And in the second period, it felt to me, and you were there, so I'd love to get your perspective on this. It felt to me like the Leafs upped the intensity and the Bruins matched it at times, but didn't consistently match it, and then they took those couple penalties. Montgomery kind of talked about that a little bit as well. What did you make of the Bruins' intensity level, especially in the second and third periods?
Well, I think the second period, I thought that they played okay. I think the third period is when you noticed that they didn't look the way that they did, first of all, in game one. Like, game one was a really intense game from start to finish. That's not really how game two went. I think the third period was really where you could criticize the intensity level. And Montgomery, after the game, said that it was not his defense. Obviously, they're only playing with five defensemen in the third period because Peak left in the second with an injury. He said it was really on his forwards not playing to the highest amount of energy that they had.
And you mentioned the Peak injury. I thought that was a really significant one. He goes out, Tavares scores the goal in the power play not long after. I mean, how significant do you view the Peak injury? And do you think, game three, do you think he's going to play, yes or no? And how big of a loss would it be if he doesn't?
Well, I asked Coach after the game if there was any update usually, and that's usually a question that gets met with a no. So he wasn't able to give an update on whether or not Peak will be available in game three as of tonight. Obviously, when you go down the tunnel and don't come back, there is a concern there. What happened was in the second period, he was killing a penalty, blocked his shot, hit him right in the hand on a Bertuzzi shot, and he kind of shook his hand, finished the shift, went down the tunnel, and didn't come back. So it looks like it would be a hand injury. Just depends on the extent of if anything was broken in the hand.
And as far as their penalty kill, I know they gave up the goal there. Special teams overall, though, they did have the power play goal earlier in the game. Their power play, they have three power play goals already in the series after only having three power play goals in their final 32 power play opportunities to end the regular season. Have they been doing anything differently in your eyes on the power play to start this series?
Well, the units have been switched around. The majority of the regular season, Pastrnak and Marchand were on the same unit. They were stacked onto to what you'd call the top unit then. At this point, they're not together. And I think that it's opened up some other options for Boston on the power play. And you see, it was the second unit, the so-called second unit, with DeBrusk getting two in game one and then Geeky scoring in game two on the power play. They just seem to be moving the puck a little bit better. But in terms of their penalty kill, to go back to the Peak thing for just a second, he would be a big loss on the penalty kill. And luckily the Bruins got Derek Forbert back off long-term IR today. I'm not sure how game ready he is. He played two games in Providence. He's someone you could potentially see coming in and getting right into the penalty kill if Peak were to miss time. He's one of the options. Right now, Mason Lore is with Providence. They could recall him at any time. And Parker Weatherspoon is an option as well.
You just answered my next question on what they do if Peak has to miss time. So far, like, switch gears to Pat Maroon, because he's a guy they pick up at the trade deadline. They know he's injured. He comes back late in the regular season. Through two playoff games so far, what's your assessment been of Pat Maroon as a Bruin?
He had a huge impact in game one. That hit that he had on Liljegren just threw him right into the Bruins
bench. That was awesome.
It was a big energy moment. Crowd went crazy. You could really feel his presence in game one. He still was, you know, throwing his body around in game two. Looks to be completely healthy from coming back from the back surgery, so it doesn't seem to be holding back. I think he's been an asset in the series already. No reason to think that he can't keep bringing what he's been bringing. And that fourth line in general has brought a lot of energy, and they had a goal in that first game too.
Yeah, and I think Johnny Beecher's been someone that's been really good. Jake DeBrusk has been really good in this series as well. And Jake DeBrusk had an inconsistent season by his own standards. I mean, he's been good so far in these two playoff games. When you watch Jake DeBrusk, does he look any different than the regular season, or is it a matter of he's just getting a little bit more luck than he was in the regular season?
I would say it's probably closer to the latter. I think he's played with good intensity throughout the regular season. I think he's gotten some bounces that went against him. I think that it hasn't been for lack of effort that he hasn't had as many points as last year. He's got 10 fewer points this season in 16 more games than he played last year. So, like you mentioned, he said after game one that his regular season wasn't something he was happy with, and this is kind of a reset moment. He's been a streaky player. So, you know, usually when you see one or two go in for him, that means there's more to come.
I feel like an issue all season long, Bridget, and we're talking with Bridget Prue of WEI.com and the Skate Pod and Sunday Skate. I feel like an issue the Bruins have had is how they play in a shift immediately following a goal. And Jack and Brick highlighted that on the Nesson broadcast tonight as well. They get the power play goal to go up 1-0, and then 14 seconds later, they give up a goal for it to be 1-1. And then even in the second period, Austin Matthews has that goal that is then overturned with a high stick. But then the next shift right after that, they give up the Tavares goal. So do you feel like this is an issue for them against Toronto, how they're playing after goals, after big moments? Or is this just a case of a couple bad bounces for them tonight?
Well, I think it's also in the playoffs, you're going to see that immediate pushback from a good team. If you're playing a good team like Toronto, they don't just roll over. So you're that minute after you score a goal, you know that team's coming out there and they're trying to put their best players on the ice. Obviously, it's the Matthews line out on the ice. When Domi scores, it comes on a shot by Matthews off the crossbar, which could have just gone in. But once again, Matthews hitting the post rather than putting it in. And you mentioned they catch the break. Bertuzzi had his goal called back from the high stick. And it was just a tough penalty kill for them because they were missing Peak. Shattenkirk was out there. He was the player that was supposed to be closing out Tavares. He didn't really get to him in time. And that's because Shattenkirk really doesn't play a lot of time on the penalty kill. So I think it's kind of both of the things you said, John. It was a little bit of a tough bounce and Bruins defense being a little bit out of position after those two plays and an intense push by Toronto.
A couple more questions for you, Bridget. First, Austin Matthews, 69 goals this year, gets a goal tonight, which ends up being the game-winning goal. I mean, do Bruins fans have to worry about that? I mean, is he woken up, and is he going to have a big impact on the rest of the series, do you think?
Well, when you leave him on a breakaway, he's going to score. He's
one
of the best
goal
scorers
easy.
In the league. So it was just a weird play. Puck got over McAvoy, and it was a weird lob out. McAvoy tried to jump and grab it. Weird timing play, but if Matthews gets in behind everyone, I don't think Swayman's making that save either. I think that's a goal that he scores 9 times out of 10, maybe 10 times out of 10 on a breakaway and a great move. So, he's going to be someone that this is not going to be his last goal in the series. He's come so close so many times, but that's a real easy one for him.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think nobody in the NHL probably makes that save. Last question for you. Bruins drop tonight. It's now series 1-1. What are your thoughts on the rest of the series as they head back to Toronto for game 3?
Well, like I said, I think I already said about the goalie situation, what I think they'll do in net. I think Bruins fans maybe got ahead of themselves a little bit, thinking this series could be over quickly after how definitively they won 5-1 in game 1 with Swayman playing so well. So it's not going to be a short series, I don't think. I had Bruins in 6 or 7, so I think we're looking for a really tough battle. And now that Toronto has home ice, they get the last change, they might be able to get some better matchups for that Matthews line. So that could put the Bruins defensively in a little bit of extra trouble. So that's something you have to look out for in the next few games.
She is Bridget Peru of WEEI.com, the Sunday Skate and the Skate Pod. Bridget, I appreciate you taking the time after covering the game tonight, and thanks for sharing your insight.
All right, thank you, John.
Rob, and I agree with Bridget. Like, I think this is going to be a battle of a series. It's going to be back when we've had multiple callers say that. We've said that already. Like, this is going to be a back-and-forth series, and I think there was a little bit of a false sense of security among some Bruins fans after game 1 because, hey, we dominated them in the regular season. We kicked their butts in game 1, 5-1. Pretty much the Bruins did whatever they wanted in game 1. Toronto was going to punch back. They have a lot of good players, and I know they have that loser DNA where they always lose to the Bruins, but you know what? At some point, they are going to beat the Bruins. I don't think it's going to be this year, but, like, this is a good team. That is a talented team. Like, Zach, I think you agree. Like, this is... I don't think this is a 5-game series either way.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think it's a 5-game series either way. I think this is a 6-game series, maybe a 7-game series. I feel like, though, I mean, how many times are they going to play 7 games? You know, maybe one of these years it's going to end in 6.
It's tradition. They just play Toronto 7 games in the first round.
I know. And I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, but like the 3 times they've played 7 games, the Bruins have won all 3. But I think Toronto has had a 3-2 series lead, at least 2 of them. Right, and I think 2013 and 2019, the Maple Leafs had a 3-2 series lead, and the Bruins had to win 2 in a row. So I know in 2019 they did. They had to win Game 6 in Toronto, but I think that happened one other time. So this is going to be a battle. This is a good hockey team in Toronto. Again, hey, loser DNA, I get it. We're not talking about the Stanley Cup final. which I know they haven't won in a million years. We're talking about the first round against the Bruins. They're going to punch back. They did punch back. They're going to punch again. So I'm not going to be surprised if the Bruins have some difficulty in either game three or game four. Now, again, I think the Bruins are going to win the series. But that, to me, and I don't want to look too far ahead here, Zach, I think game five is just critical. Because I think you got to win one game in Toronto, but I think you got to win game five at home as well. You want to go into game six up 3-2.
Yeah, and I think that was kind of the turning point in the Florida series last year. Obviously, towards the end of the third period in Game 5, you have Marchand on a breakaway. He misses the net. Overtime, Ullmark misplays that puck up the boards to Grizzlick, and it was game over.
Yeah, and you could even make the case that St. Louis series, they lose Game 5. I know they won Game 6, but they spent so much energy winning Game 6 that they come back for Game 7, really don't match the intensity of the Blues for most of that game and lose. And I'm not trying to bring up nightmares, Bruins fans, but I'm just saying, I think going forward, when I look at this series, I think you got to split games three and four. Obviously, duh, you want to win both, I know. But you at least got to split games three and four, and game five is crucial. And that's why Bridget said something really interesting about this. She anticipates the goalie rotation is going to be back and forth for the first four games, which would give us Swayman in game three and Ullmark in game four. That does leave things open, though, in game five. Could we get Ullmark for two? Like, if Ullmark is, you know, shuts out Toronto in game four, do we get him again in game five? Or is it back to Swayman? Like that. So the door is open there for game five for, you know, whichever goalie they feel like is playing better at the time, which right now is tough to judge. Zach, we do have some, I believe, Jim Montgomery sound from after this game. If we got it.
Well, I actually liked our second period until we took the penalties. You know, then their power play got rolling, and they get juice from their power play. And I thought in the third period they were, you know, better than we were.
Jim, how would you evaluate the team's kind of sense of urgency, puck management this evening?
Tonight?
Yeah.
I didn't think our urgency was where it needed to be to prevail tonight. Puck management? I didn't think puck management was a detriment to us. I just didn't think we won enough wall battles to be able to get out of our end successfully.
Jim, where do you think things got away from you on that second power play attempt there?
You know, we had possession. I liked the opportunity at the end. I just don't think our players were in sync in what they were trying to do. So that's why it looked a little discombobulated.
That is Jim Montgomery after the game. He mentioned the word urgency, and then he talked about puck battles, battles along the wall, I think. That's a good summation of what we saw tonight. I mean, the Maple Leafs for pretty much the entire 60 minutes brought a pretty high level of urgency. And at times, the Bruins matched it. I mean, early in the first period, they matched it. They go up 1-0. Ullmark has some good saves early. But then Max Domi answers right back, and it's 1-1. Then they capitalize. Pasternak has that great goal off the great pass from Zaka. They go up 2-1. Then in the second period, it's kind of back and forth. But later in that second period, Bruins take a couple bad penalties, especially that too many men on the ice one, but they take a couple bad penalties. Auston Matthews has the goal that is overturned, so they stay up 2-1, but then they're still a little flat after that. The peak injury, I think, was a big deal as well. Tavares scores to tie it at 2-2, and it felt like as soon as that Tavares goal went in, which was the second time the Maple Leafs had seen the puck go in a few minutes. Again, I know the first one was overturned, but still, they're seeing the puck go in, which I think matters. But as soon as that Tavares goal went in, you could feel the energy come out of the building, and you could feel some of the energy come out of the Bruins. And in the third period, they played with five defensemen. Jim Montgomery still seemed to think, though, it was more on the forwards for not bringing enough intensity, despite the Bruins having only 5D. They did have a couple good moments in that third, that great save by Ullmark that Lindholm helped block. But they have the McAvoy puck gets by him slash missing. I don't want to crush him on it because it could have just kind of been a bad bounce too. But anyways, puck gets by McAvoy. Matthews on a breakaway. I mean, that's easy money right there for anyone betting on Matthews to score. Matthews on a breakaway. He scores. It's 3-2. And then even after that, the Bruins, they had that power play with 6 minutes left, but that didn't really generate much. They had the one really good chance with 48 seconds left where they were whacking at the puck. And at first it started to squirt through Samsonov's legs, but they couldn't quite get the puck in the net. But it just felt like once that Tavares goal went in, the energy shifted on the ice and in the building, and Toronto had the upper hand for the rest of the evening. And the Bruins, just in that third period, couldn't really get much going offensively. Felt like they spent a lot of time in their own zone. They obviously gave up the goal, and even late, just really that one good opportunity with 48 seconds left. They had one good opportunity early in the period, but really only that one good one late. And again, I'm not surprised Toronto upped the intensity. I was hoping after the Bruins went up 2-1 late in the first, they'd be able to build on that and add a goal in the second. But credit to Toronto. And Samsonov, too. Samsonov did not play, and Toronto as a whole played bad in Game 1. Samsonov did not play well in Game 1 to the point where it would have been reasonable to switch goalies if you were Toronto. Instead, Ilya Samsonov comes out, plays well in this game, only gives up the two goals. Again, one of them was just an awesome pass and shot from Zaka to Pastrnak, and the other one was a power play goal. He only gives up the two goals in this game. It was two goals on 29 shots. He had 27 saves. Thought he played much better. Thought Toronto played much better. I mean, that's things. So, Zach, I don't want to be sky is falling on this one. Like, it's a frustrating loss, and I think it was a winnable game, but Toronto punched back. Punched back. I wish I could get the words out right. They punched back.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think anybody necessarily was thinking that they were just going to roll over and let the Bruins just run through them for four straight games. And Montgomery said it after the game on Saturday that it was in the context of Johnny Beecher that it was the best game he played as a Bruin. But then he said, as a whole, the challenge isn't playing well for one game. It's about repeating that effort and playing with the same intensity for the rest of the series.
Yeah, and I would agree. And I think a guy that Geeky has played well in both games. I think Beecher has played well in both games. I think Jake DeBrusk probably been the best Bruin through the first two games. He had the two goals and one assist in game one. He helped set up the Bruins' first goal tonight. I know it didn't show up on the stat sheet, but he helped set up their first goal. I think Jake DeBrusk, through two games, I think he's been the best Bruin, and he also had an assist tonight as well.
Yeah, he's been great. I mean, I am a guy that I like to rip on Jake DeBrusk a lot because he's inconsistent, and he's the type of player that it drives you insane because yeah. You see what those highs can be for him, and you also see what the lows can be. But a guy that's also really, really impressed me is Jacob Lauko throughout these first two games.
Yeah, that whole bottom six, by the way, like with Boqvist, Beecher, Lauko, Marut, like those guys, Frederick had his first NHL playoff goal the other night. Like that bottom six has been really good. Heinen's been sneaky good all year to the point where he's kind of fluctuated between top six, bottom six. But that whole bottom six so far in this series, to me, Zach, I think they've been really good.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Heinen. He's a guy that comes in on a PTO that makes the team. And,
yeah, I get paid nothing.
Yeah, and a lot of people viewed him as the Tyler Bertuzzi replacement, and he outproduced Bertuzzi in the regular season.
Yeah, and I think so far in this series, I mean, Bertuzzi's been fine, but I mean, I think Heinen's been just as impactful in this series, and you're right, he was better so far this year. So I think that, like, again, I think Lindholm's been good, too, defensively. He had that great block shot earlier. I know he's a minus one tonight, however much stock you want to put in plus minus. But he's playing a ton of minutes. He was over 24 minutes tonight. McAvoy was over 25 minutes tonight. And part of that was because Pete got injured, only played 10 minutes. But like through two games, I think we've seen some good depth on the Bruins in these first two games, which is why I feel more encouraged going into game three. Like, yeah, Toronto punch back. I get it. Toronto's good. They're probably going to win another game in this series. I still feel better about the Bruins as they head to Toronto for game three. Believe it or not, Zach, we're almost at our final segment. One quick break, and then we're going to wrap everything up here on WEEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're back to John Lyons on WEEI.
Wrapping things up here on WEEI, John Lyons, Zach Coe producing. Big thank you to Bridget Prue for calling in earlier this hour with a report from the TD Garden. Bruins lose 3-2 to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Series is now tied 1-1. Just a few other scores from tonight. The Carolina Hurricanes beat the New York Islanders 5-3. Carolina was down 3-1 to start the third period. They had four goals in the third period of that one. Bruce Cassidy and the Vegas Golden Knights in game one of their series against Dallas. They are up 4-2 early in the third period right now. The Oilers are up 4-2 over the LA Kings in the second period. That's game one as well. Old friend Zach Hyman. Remember Zach Hyman? Zach Coe, do you remember Zach Hyman?
I do not. Not as a Bruin.
And when I say old friend, spent a lot of time in Toronto. Lost multiple playoff series to the Bruins. That's kind of the inside joke there. But yeah, Zach Hyman, old friend of the Bruins because he lost a bunch of
playoff series. He was a Maple Leaf?
Yeah, he was on the Maple Leafs for like six years.
I've been bashing him all year as a McDavid merchant for standing in front of the net, and I didn't even know his history.
Yeah, no, he was on the Maple, but he has two goals tonight in that one as they lead in game one. Bruins lose here 1-1. Big story on the night, they start Linus Omark instead of Jeremy Swayman. Swayman had 35 saves on 36 shots in game one. Omark played well tonight, 30 saves on 33 shots, by no means the reason they lost. Jim Montgomery put the blame on the forward group. I think the key turning point was that Andrew Peak injury and the couple bad Bruin penalties late in the second period. John Tavares scores to make it 2-2, and it felt like after that, the energy kind of left the Bruins. It left the TD Garden. Things were just not quite the same for the Bruins. Auston Matthews gets that game winner in the third period. And according to Bridget Peru, it seems like, Zach, we're going to get Jeremy Swayman again in game three.
Yeah, I think ultimately that's the right move. Even if that wasn't necessarily the rotation, like if you just flip-flopped the games that they played and the results were the same and Swayman played tonight and Allmark played game one, and similarly, like I said, the results were the same, then maybe you go Swayman again in game four or game three. So,
yeah, and I think, you know, this game three, like as long as the Bruins can split in Toronto and then come back and win game five, I'm going to feel really good. And I still feel good. I still think the Bruins are going to win the series. I think they're better than the Leafs. But again, I know the Bruins have had a lot of success against the Leafs this year. The Bruins won 47 games. The Leafs won 46. These are two evenly matched teams. What we saw in game one is not what we were going to get the rest of the series. Credit to the Leafs. They punched back tonight. The Bruins met the intensity at some times. At other times, they didn't. And the Leafs ended up with the win. And Montgomery talked about it. Urgency. Some of the battles. Leafs won most of those battles. Bruins, I think, got to come out in game three. And this is a game three. Yeah, I expect, Zach, the Bruins to come out and up the intensity in game three, much like they did in game one to start the series.
Yeah, you almost have to. I mean, if you look at a series as a fight, the Bruins threw the first punch. Tonight, the Leafs punched back, and now it's the Bruins' turn to respond to that on their home ice. So,
yeah, and I think, you know, for the Leafs, they're coming in. This is a team that finally won a playoff series last year, but then they got smoked by Florida in round two. There's still a lot of pressure there to make a real playoff run. And I think if the Bruins can get out, if they can get a lead in one of these games, preferably game three, of course, but if they can come out and get up 2-0, get up 3-1, I think that doubt creeps back into the Leafs. It feels like to me the Leafs, if you can get a lead on them, especially if you can get a two-goal lead on them, and I know the old adage, the two-goal lead in the playoffs is the least safe lead you can have. I think the Leafs, though, you get a two-goal lead on them, that doubt starts to creep in a little bit. They start making some, you know, mental mistakes, much like we saw Max Domi do in game one, which credit to Domi, he had a goal tonight 14 seconds after, of course, Morgan Geekie had the goal to put the Bruins up 1-0. But Domi had a goal. He was better. The Leafs as a whole, they're just a lot better tonight. It's, with Samsonov in net, I thought, and up front, they're a lot better. Matthews got going, finally scored that goal. So I expect this to be a really interesting trip to Toronto. I think the Bruins have to win at least one. I think they're going to come out in game three with a much higher level of intensity, and maybe that game one level of intensity that we saw at times in game two, but we didn't see all of game two. Zach, what do you think about game three? You like the Bruins in this one?
I mean, it's hard to say that I don't, because I think they almost need to come out with that level intensity that we saw in game one. But I think this Andrew Peak injury could loom pretty large if he misses the game. Out of the three names that Bridget mentioned as possible replacements, out of Wotherspoon, Forbert, and Laurie, how many of those guys do you really trust going out there on the PK?
And I like Forbert on the PK. I think he's good, but we're talking about a guy that's played two games in Providence. That's it. I mean, he's been out injured for months now, played two games in Providence. So that Peak injury is something to monitor. I do like the Bruins in game three. I will be back here Wednesday night, we have Bruins and Celtics. So it'll be Celtics game two, Bruins game three. Myself and Cooper Boardman will be on after both games. Plus, there's a Red Sox game that night. So we will have plenty to talk about. We'll be on 10 to midnight on Wednesday night. I'm looking forward to that. I'm John Lyons. Zach Coe, you did a great job tonight. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you Wednesday. And, of course, the Greg Hill Show will be back 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.